Let us pray. Almighty God, give us the increase of faith, hope, and love, and so that we may obtain what you have promised, make us love what you command, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. On my very first trip to Israel, Miriam and I had the opportunity to renew our marriage vows at Cana of Galilee, where Jesus' first miracle occurred. Now, that Jesus' first sign was given at a wedding feast is striking. He made enough wine to fill 1,000 bottles of wine. And I don't know about you, but that's my kind of party. Amen? But there we were, standing beneath a beautiful church in what was a first century building, staring at one another, husband and wife, lover and beloved. And the priest officiating the renewal ceremony was Canon David Roseberry, a friend and mentor of mine who has trained me in many things in ministry. But renewing our marriage vows after many, many years of marriage was extremely powerful. And I was struck once more, reflecting deeper on the significance of the marriage covenant when I spoke these words to Miriam. I take you to be my wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better or worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish until we are parted by death. And perhaps because I am getting older, I pondered the parting of death part just a little bit more. Couples say these words, but I do not believe they think too deeply on them, on their meaning and on their significance. Death does indeed part lovers. One day the two that become one over a lifetime shall be parted. You see, there is a finality to death, the most formidable foe and the last enemy. And what is needed is a victorious warrior that can vanquish the tyrant, a hero that can slay the giant, a roaring lion that conquers what seems unconquerable. My friends, we conclude our message series today on the Song of Songs. And as we have journeyed with the lover and the beloved from their courtship to their wedding night to their developing marriage, we now come to the definition of love itself at the finale. Love is as strong as death. It's jealousy as enduring as the grave. Love flashes like fire, the brightest kind of flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can rivers drown it. If a man tried to buy love with all of his wealth, his offer would be utterly scorned. And without Jesus Christ, we could certainly leave these words as is. Love is as strong as death. The truth, however, is that there is a love stronger than death. Amen. A love stronger than the grave. A love that burns and consumes all. A love that cannot be put out, that cannot be extinguished. A love that cannot be bought, but is completely and utterly self-giving, always and forever. And that love is the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ. But as we have seen throughout the song, the overt story of the man and the woman are meant to point beyond itself to the great romance, the great love story between God and his people, between Jesus and the church. And at the resurrection, we will no longer be given in marriage, but there will be marriage. There will be the heavenly union, the consummation of heaven and earth, and the life of the world to come. There will be a shared eternal union between lover and beloved, between Jesus, the bridegroom, and his bride, the church. This morning, let us gaze through the earthly union like looking through a window and see the joy of the gospel. That love is not as strong as death, but rather in light of our living Lord, we know that there is a love stronger than death. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at Song of Songs, chapter 8, verse 5, found on page 402 in your pew Bibles. Now, Timothy Smith shares a story about a man who wrote to Dear Abby. Dear Abby, I am in love, and I am having an affair with two different women other than my wife. I love my wife, but I love these other women also. Please tell me what to do, but don't give me any of that morality stuff. Signed, too much to love for only one. Abby's answer was classic. She responded, dear too much to love for only one. The only difference between humans and animals is morality. Please write to a veterinarian. My friends, what we witness today in our passage is the ongoing commitment of love and marriage. And for the third time in the song, the woman abruptly enters the scene in 8:5. She comes from the desert leaning on the arm of her lover. In other words, the beloved depends on her husband. And this is in no manner demeaning. She leans into him for strength, for the two are one. She is bone of his bone. She is flesh of his flesh. But she desires their union to be publicly approved of. The apple tree where life is birthed, the apple tree where love is awakened, represents that their union is part of a genealogy that goes back and back and back and back. They are part of a community, a tribe, and a people. And her desire of public approval leads up to the great definition of love in 8:6. Place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. The beloved makes a bold demand here. She wants to be her lover's seal. And in the ancient world, a person's seal was a statement of their identity. It could be a signet ring on a finger, or a stamp held in the outer garments on a cord, or hung around the neck. But why the woman's request is so bold is that she wants him to take her as his seal, which means that the lover's own identity can never, ever be divorced from her. It's amazing. They are one. She is part of his identity, and he is part of hers. After all, we have heard the refrain so many times in the song before, I am my beloved's, and my beloved's mine. She desires an intimate union, hence to be a seal upon his heart. She desires a public union, hence to be a seal upon his arm. She is for him, and he is for her. And she wishes, and she longs to be the center of his existence. For love is as strong as death, its jealousy as enduring as the grave. But how is love like death? It is said that death is absolute. Who can resist it? The beloved's claim on her lover is a non-negotiable like that. We've already been told that she is a formidable woman. Now we see that her love is formidable too. And how is the love as jealous as the grave? Once in the clutches of love, there's no going back. There's no escape. And the great ode of love continues in that the woman says, love flashes like fire, meaning like a lightning bolt, like a lightning strike. And all the water thrown on this fiery bolt won't do a single thing. The fire will still burn. It cannot be quenched, nor can the love she boasts about be bought with all the wealth one has acquired. The Beatles echo her statement many, many years later. Money can't buy me love. Money can't buy you love. The love that she speaks of is an unconquerable love. Amen?
Amen.
Chris Messick wrote a poem entitled, For You Are the One. And one young man sent the first two stanzas of the poem to his girlfriend, which said, for you I would climb the highest mountain peak, swim the deepest ocean, your love I do seek. For you I would cross the rivers most wide, walk the hottest desert sand, to have you by my side. Yet in the postscript he wrote, P.S. I'll be over Saturday night if it doesn't rain. An unconquerable love is a committed love through thick and thin. For better or worse, for richer or poor, in sickness and in health. An unconquerable love is a relentless love. It never gives up. It never gives in. Not ever. An unconquerable love is always hopeful. It endures through every circumstance. And in this, we see that marriage is not an event, but a long, long voyage, like a cruise that never ends. As David and Claudia Arp in their book, The Second Half of Marriage, comment, marriage is a journey, not a destination, and no one ever arrives. And we see this in the song as well. As the song concludes, the cast come forward for their final bows. And the beloved reflects upon her upbringing with how her brothers guarded her purity. She was a virgin who matured and who now delights her lover husband. And whereas King Solomon rented out one of his vineyards to tenant farmers, she has kept her own vineyard, which, as we have seen throughout the song, is her body, her purity, her sexuality. Her vineyard she will share only with her lover husband. And though others listen to the beloved's voice in 8:13, so the lover longs to hear her voice as well. And for the very first time in the entire song, in the entire book, we are given the body part and sense never mentioned, the ears, which are for hearing. All attention is put on the woman here, who lingers in the gardens, and as we have seen throughout the song, is a garden herself. Her final sentence in 8:14 is addressed to her lover husband. Come away, my love, be like a gazelle or like a young stag on the mountain of spices. In other words, let's run off and make love. And with that, the curtain closes. The Song of Songs is finished. Or is it? When we turn to the theological meaning of our passage today, we see the beloved bride coming from the desert leaning on her lover husband. This life is our desert wilderness, my brothers and sisters. And in this life, we lean on the strong right arm of the Lord, the strong right arm of heaven's victory. Because Jesus Christ has triumphed over the grave. Death could not contain him. Amen? You see, there is a love stronger than death. A love that death couldn't keep down. And that is why the church leans on the strong right arm of the Lord God Almighty as we leave this life and enter to the life of the world to come. Jesus died for his bride, the church. And his resurrection is the first fruits of a greater harvest to come, the resurrection of the saints on the last day. And because we have union with the life giver, we can boast, O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? The Lamb of God who was slain for us upon the cross has risen and is a roaring lion. And like the woman in the overt story, the church is part of Jesus' identity now. The church demands, like the woman, place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. Jesus came and he died for his bride. He rose for her. He is coming again for her. His identity is connected to his bride, just as his bride's identity is connected to him. And the book of Revelation makes this abundantly clear and evident. For the bride says to the bridegroom, I am my beloved's and my beloved's mine. My friends, we have an eternal life-giving union with the Messiah, King Jesus. That is why, in the mystical waters of baptism, the church is immersed into Jesus' life, death, burial, and resurrection. And we are sealed with the sign of the cross, with oil. You see, the seal of baptism is both public, it's done in community, and intimate, for we have a real participation with God. For there is nothing stronger than the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ. Just how strong is God's love? Well, Paul tells us in Romans 8, 38 and 39, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, Neither our fears for today, nor our worries for tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
You see, there is a love stronger than death. You already know it now in this life. And you will see just how much stronger the love of God in Jesus Christ is when you are bodily raised on the last day. For I love that imagery of the church leaning on the strong right arm of the Lord coming out of the wilderness. That strong right arm of the Lord is the arm of his victory. And in Christ Jesus, you and I are more than conquerors. Because we know and participate and share in a love that is stronger than death. But with all of this talk of resurrection by our union with the Lord Jesus, we must first fathom that in a lot of earthly marriages, resurrection is needed. The reason I started this message series is because I know there are marriages even here among us that need new life. And what a difference Jesus can make in your marriage, my friends. There was a husband and wife who had grown apart over the years. Career and raising kiddos had put some strain on their marriage, which eventually led to some unfaithfulness with one of the spouses. And even though folks were encouraging the other spouse to seek a divorce, they didn't do it. Why? Because there was this sense that the Lord didn't want it to happen. Even though everyone else was saying, go for it, get a divorce, the Lord said no. The Lord said no. And over time there was reconciliation and there was forgiveness. And the spouse who had been unfaithful had a powerful experience with Jesus and became a new creation, which brought a second life and resurrection to that marriage. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ can raise what is dead, my friends. He called forth Lazarus from the grave in John 11. And a lot of marriages are precisely like that, in a grave, wrapped in burial clothes. For those of you in a spot like this, hear the powerful voice of Jesus Christ today. Come out! Come out! With Jesus, there is always hope because he is our living hope. And his love changes everything. It really does, even our marriages. Because his love is a love that is stronger than death. Secondly, the church must press more deeply into its identity and its union with Jesus. Only by leaning now in the desert wilderness of this life on King Jesus will we obtain the life of the world to come at the consummation. We can't get from here to there without leaning on the everlasting arms. Those arms that bore the sin of the world and were nailed to the tree. Those arms that came forth from the tomb in victory. But do most Christians realize that they have a real participation now with a love that is stronger than death? Already now, in this life. For when you truly, in your heart of hearts, know this, shalom has come to you and to your household. Peace. Peace. We have seen throughout the song that Jesus is the greater Solomon. He is the true beloved of God that brings perfect wholeness and peace. Yet only by our union with the Lord will we experience this perfect peace. We are not whole without him. We are restless until we rest in him. Therefore, we must be like the woman leaning on the arm of her lover. You see, Jesus completes us. He fulfills us, and our identity is in him alone. Not in wealth or health. Not an education or reputation or vocation, in Christ alone. This is the unconquerable love that cannot be quenched by many waters. This is the unconquerable love that cannot be bought with all the riches of this world. This is a love stronger than death. As Paul writes in Romans 6:9, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. And the saints have union with the Lord Jesus now and forever. Hallelujah. Amen. We have an eternal, life-giving union now and always. King Jesus has loved us, his bride, all the way to the cross and to the grave and to back again. And the last enemy, which is death, will be destroyed one day forever. The death of death, it'll be a great and joyous day. And Jesus will usher us to a glorious new heaven and earth, to the garden city of the New Jerusalem, where we will dwell with God forever in union. This is the unconquerable love. This is a love stronger than death. So now as we wrap up the Song of Songs, we see the truth of the refrain, I am my beloved's, and my beloved's mine. And we now come to the table of our Lord. Will you lean on the arm of your lover, the lover who loved you and me all the way by giving himself completely to the will of God, even by dying a criminal's death upon the hard wood of the cross as the perfect Lamb of God, the lover in whose victory we stand, who rose like a roaring lion ready to roar and raise what is dead. Come, my friends, knowing that we are participants already in the greatest love story of all time. The great epic, that the love in which we participate and share in, the love which we experience is an unconquerable love. It is a love that is stronger than death. Let us pray. O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth and sent your blessed Son to preach peace, shalom, to those who are far off and to those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations into your fold. Pour out your Spirit upon all flesh. And hasten the coming of your kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.